You can all take a seat. Thanks, team. That was phenomenal, to say the least. Oh. I shouldn't worship so hard. I'm a little... So how are we all doing tonight? Oh, that's good eye. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good too. Yeah, for those of you who don't know me, my name's Rob Pearson, and I usually hang out here on a Sunday. And they asked me to give the word of Jesus tonight. So I hope for all of you non-English or native English speakers, you can follow me. When I get excited, I tend to produce estrogen, which makes me speak faster. And so the past couple of weeks here at House of Hearn, we've been talking about the promises of God and the power that they should have to change our life. And so I want to follow along this same train of thought tonight and focus on how we can access this power, how we can tap into these promises and make them applicable to our lives. So let's just pray one more time, okay? Jesus, God, I pray that your word, it would go out and it would not return void. Lord, I thank you that there's power to change in your word. God, I thank you that there's power to break bondages in your word. Lord, I thank you that there is power to overcome anything we face in this world through your word. Lord, I pray that you would use me to speak your word to your people, God. Lord, I pray that the authority of your word, it would break into people's lives as I speak. It would break into their thinking and their mindsets, and it would change us, Lord. So that when we leave this door, we would never be the same. Tell yourself right now, I'm going to receive the word of God tonight. Spirit, if you're not listening, you're going to receive the truth of God, and it is going to change your life. Father, I thank you that you are amongst us. In your name, Jesus. Amen. It was the summer of 2007. I was in Sydney. I was at Hillsong Bible College. And I had woken up early because on that day we had chapel. And chapel is basically a church service that happens, I think, four times a week. And it's for all the students and the faculty. And it's really good because it's just a great way to start your day. I mean, you have church pretty much every day of the week. And I got up extra early that day because I wanted to pray. I wanted a little time with God so that I would go to chapel feeling filled up. I wouldn't just go there to get filled up. And in my prayer time, God was just speaking to me, and I just started getting excited. And I began to expect that God was going to start doing, he's going to touch me in chapel. He's going to do something in chapel. All the things I'd been praying about previously, I just felt God was going to give me an answer, and God would be there. And after I prayed, I had breakfast, and I rode my bike through the rain to church. And I got there, and I was freezing and kind of sick, and I was kind of stressed out from all the assignments I had to do. And I totally forgot about this conversation I had with God earlier, and I totally forgot that I needed to be aware that God was going to do something in my life. And so I was just kind of at this church service, and it felt just like any other church service I'd been to. I was in the back, you know, and it was great worship as always, and I was just kind of doing my worship shuffle, you know, like just thinking about, you know, my assignments and stuff, and I was just kind of blending in. And I wasn't sticking out. And then all of a sudden, I remembered, oh, wait, God was going to do something today. This chapel was going to be special. God was going to speak to me. And I tell you, the second I thought that, I just felt the presence of God come on me. And in that chapel service, I ended up just pouring my heart out to God. And God was pouring his heart out to me. And it was just such a phenomenal thing. And that morning, it changed my life. It changed the way I thought for the rest of my life because I wondered, how did my state of thinking have an influence on me receiving anything from God? How did what I was thinking about influence if I was going to receive a miracle or a touch from the Spirit? It really blew my mind. And I say that God showed up, right, that morning because I thought of him, but I don't really like the word showed up because we know God is here all the time, right? We know that God inhabits the praises of his people. We know where two or more are gathered, he is amongst us. We know that he is in this room right now. We know that he's living inside of all of us, but how many of us really believe it? How many of us really walk around thinking that God is listening to the words I'm saying? He's listening to the thoughts of your heart. You know, how many of us have a conscious awareness of God? And we can pray before we come to church, and we can, you know, really, really want good things to happen, and then we walk in the door, and we just forget all about it. Are we expecting God to meet us when we look for him? So if you're taking notes tonight, anybody? Look at this right here. So you can put down in big capital letters. What do you expect? This is the title of the sermon. And I ask you this question because of that service that I was standing in. It was just like any other service I had been to, except that I expected something to happen. And I want to argue tonight that as followers of Jesus, we are called to expect the promises of God that he has given us are going to come true in our life. And so I just want to start out by making a clear distinction between the word hope and the word expect. Because I think it's a lot easier to say, I hope God is going to do something, rather than I expect God to do something. So I got a few pictures up here. And when I'm working during the week, and I'm thinking about all the money I'm making, this is kind of what I'm hoping for, right? I'm hoping for the Porsche GT3. I'm hoping for the delicious cool ice cream. I'm hoping for the fuzzy kitten, you know? But I get my paycheck, yeah? And after the taxes and all that phenomenal stuff, this is what I can really expect. What do we have here? We have an old bug. We've got a pile of dry sand and a dead rat. So these are two stark differences. So let's just go to reality and cross out. Yeah, okay. But there's a dramatic difference between using the word hope and using the word expect. Because if you look in the English Bible, when you come across the word expect, it doesn't really happen too often. They usually use the word hope. And in a lot of cases, it's better to translate it as expect. Because hope is just such a weak word today. We say, you know, I hope it's not going to rain, but if it does, that's okay, you know, whatever. And there's no guarantee when we use the word hope. But if we use the word expect, it sounds different. Expect means that there is a strong possibility that the events are going to happen. It's a certainty that event is going to take place. So I got another slide here. What I hope for? God's promises. What can I expect? God's promises. What are we going to do tonight? Genau. Okay. So we're kind of short on time, so let's get rolling here. Ephesians 1, chapter 3. Turn with me there, please. Nobody has a Bible. There's one. Turn with me now. Yeah, okay. So it says here, how we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we belong to Christ. So it says, because we belong to Christ, we have all the benefits of knowing him. What are the benefits of knowing him? We have been chosen for salvation. We have been adopted as his children. We have forgiveness. We have insight. We have wisdom. We can have healing. We can have peace. And we can have all the other promises that are in the Word of God. And the crazy thing is, is that it says he's already blessed us with them. So that means that we can have these things right now. It says that they are blessings, spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. So what does that mean, blessings in the heavenly realms? Just turn to your neighbor and say, what is he talking about? I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. This means that these blessings aren't temporary things. Because like ourselves in the world, it's all temporary. It's passing away. Here on the earth, we only have a concept of time. We have a concept of a timeline of a past and a present and a future. But God doesn't roll that way. God doesn't live like that. See, God exists out of this passage of time. And he doesn't have a beginning or an end. And just like these promises, there are no beginning or end to the promises. They are eternal. They are blessings that were, that are, and that are to be. It's something that we really can't get our mind around. We can't get our mind on the concept of eternity because we're stuck in this frame of time. And so it's hard to live in this life and expect these things when we have five senses, because not everything is existing in this realm of our five senses. There's a realm outside of time, and this reality that there is something outside of our time, outside of our present material state, it's a way bigger deal than I think we think about. In the book of 2 Kings, there's a prophet, Elijah, and Elijah made some enemies. And these enemies decided to go get Elijah, and so they surrounded the town Elijah was in with a great army. And Elijah's servant comes up to me and says, Elijah, there's a whole army here around the entire city just to get us. And he's freaking out because all he sees is this army. But then Elijah says, oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elijah was filled with horses and chariots of fire. And so it's the same with these spiritual blessings. It's the same that of the things that have been given to us in the spiritual realm. There are blessings, there are promises, there is truth that is surrounding us right now, and we may not even see it. See, these things are more real than the problems that we face. And that's because they come from an eternal place. They always were. See, the earth is fading away. Our problems today are fading away. My breath right now is on a countdown timer, and God knows how many days I have left. And every time I breathe in and out, this timer clicks down. But the promises of God are from everlasting to everlasting. They are eternal. They're forever. Is anyone getting excited? Look to your neighbor and say, are you getting this? Oh, man. Well, I'm getting pumped up anyways. So we know there's a reality beyond ours. And the coolest thing is that as a follower of Jesus, as a Christian, the Bible says that we have an authority in this place. We have authority in where these spiritual realms are. Yeah. And the coolest thing is that what happens in the spiritual, it affects our reality. See, the blessings in the spiritual realm affect our reality. Jesus tells us in Luke 10, verses 19, look, I have given you authority over the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. He echoes this again in Luke 9, and he says, I'll give you power over and authority over all demons to cure diseases. So let's keep going. We got 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, as we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need. Is it up there? Yeah, okay. Everything we need for living a godly life. He calls us to receive his own glory and goodness. And by that same mighty power, he has given us all of his rich and wonderful promises. He has promised that you will escape the corruption all around you caused by evil desires, and that you will share in his divine nature. Well, what a phenomenal promise. I mean, it says he's already given us everything. So let's recap. We have all things, all blessings, and they're available to us right now. We have authority in this place. We have authority over the powers of darkness and sickness. And we have the power to even escape the corruption in our own life. And now I think if we can really get an awareness, grasp an understanding of just what is available to us, if we can really get our mind around that we can interact with this invisible realm, then we can really begin to expect to see a change in our life. We can begin to expect to see a change in somebody's life we're praying for. We don't have to hope that our friend is going to get saved. We can begin to expect it. We need to change the way that we think. So now I want to give us some tools. I want to share a few thoughts and just some things that we can use tonight that is going to increase our faith, increase our expectation, and make us aware that he cares for us, that he really likes us, he's really for us, and that he has blessed us with all good things. Somebody say, I'm expecting something tonight. Oh, come on. You know, I came in here expecting something tonight. So I want to talk about the power of expectation to change our life. Last time I was here, I shared my testimony. And I spoke about how I came from a life of not knowing Jesus to knowing Jesus and having God turn my life upside down and just totally change me. And I think the biggest part of that was God had to change my faith. He had to change the way that I believe to believe something that I wasn't, to believe something that I was, even though I didn't feel like it. To believe that I was something that I wasn't yet, even though when I looked in the mirror, I didn't see any of that. You see, I was addicted to drugs. I was depressed. I didn't have a father. I was just a generally broken and kind of introverted guy. I didn't want to go out. I didn't want friends around me. I was just a mess. But then I read the word of God, and it said, I'm no longer a slave to this addiction. It says that I have joy. It says that he was my father, and he's making me whole, and he's made me for a community. But the problem was, this was in direct contradiction to what I was feeling. These promises didn't look anything like what I was feeling and who I was. And so what did I do? I began to speak these promises out over my life. And I began to renew my mind. And the Bible says that when we speak the word of God and when we have the word of God and we read the word of God, it renews our mind. It changes the very way we think. And so you could be a Christian in here. You can be a follower of Jesus. You can know God. You can know all the songs we sang. But if you don't renew your mind with the word of God, you're still living with all that stuff in the past. You're still living with all that ugly stuff that made you who you were. Maybe it's good stuff, but So the problem is we need to break off this junk that's on our life. And God brought me through a real journey of just using the word of God to break this junk off my life. Because before I went to Bible college, I was saved for a year. And when I went to Bible college, I still had depression hanging over me. I was still depressed. Like, I was doing all this great ministry and all these cool things, and I was learning so much about God, but I would wake up in the morning, and I didn't want to put my foot out of my bed. All I could think about was, Rob, what are you doing here? You were supposed to be a mechanic. What are you doing here, man? Do you really think that you're gonna totally change your life around? Do you really think that you've got enough compassion to help all the people in the world? Do you really think you can live the life God's got you to be? And I would just sit there and go, you know that feeling where everything inside you is kind of eating up? And then I remembered the Bible tells me something different. Why am I not seeing it? So what I would do, I would get out of bed, and I'd grab this sheet of paper, just like this. And I would walk to the mirror on my wall, and I had a sheet of paper, and I typed out the promises of God on my life. And I would stand in the mirror and talk about feeling stupid, man, but I mean, this is what I would do. I'd stand in the mirror, I'd be like, hey, Rob, you're blessed and highly favored. Hey, Rob, God has a plan and a purpose for you. Hey, Rob, you don't have to feel down because Jesus is the lifter of your head. And then the more I did it, the more excited I would get. I'd be like, yeah, you know, Rob, you are the head and not the tail. There is no weapon formed against you that can prosper. God is going to do the work over the people that you are going to minister today. You don't have to put that weight on your shoulders. God is going to complete the work that he has started in you until the day that he comes back. And I tell you, within 5 minutes, I was dancing around my room. I was jumping up and down from being this depressed guy that didn't have a hope to jumping up and down because I had the power of God that renewed my mind. This is the power of the word. We need to do this. You know, and it changed my life because I began to believe more of what my future was going to be than my past. I was going to believe more of who I was yet to be than who I was today. You know what? I realized that as long as I can believe in God to work a miracle, the devil had no power over me. As long as you can expect a miracle from God, the devil can't throw your past in your face and say, no, you're never going to be that. No, you look at your father. He was just a drunk who dropped out of school and didn't have a job. That's what you're going to be. That's all you know. And you say, no, that's not it. That's not the plan of God on my life. This isn't everything. God, you have a purpose and a plan for all of us. And this is who we're going to be. We need to renew our mind. And it's so hard to do because, as I said earlier, we have limited senses. We don't taste, touch, see, and smell. That one day I would be speaking here in this church when I was smoking drugs. You know, I can't see that. I can't see and feel the power of God all the time. But it doesn't mean it's not there. But I mean, there's lots of things that we know exist even though we don't see them. Like there's microwaves going through there right now, right? Like, I mean, I could pull out my phone and I could use Google and look up information on microwaves, right? So clearly there's something happening. There's headsets on people's heads, but there's no cable attached. It's magic, you know? It's not magic. It's just we believe in something even though we don't see it. And the Bible is full of this, and the promises of God are full of this. So you know what? Maybe you're full of fear tonight. Maybe your life's ruled by fear. But the Bible says that God didn't give you a spirit of fear. He gave you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Maybe you're depressed. But the Bible says you don't have to be depressed. It says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen? It's truth. It's more real than your depression. The truth of God that he loves you and he has a purpose and you can expect something for your future is more real. It changed my life. I know people in here, it's changed their lives. And I think it's not only a good thing to do, this is kind of what's really been bugging me this week as I prepared this sermon was, it's not just a good thing to do, it's our responsibility to do it. You don't have a right to be down and depressed and have a pity party all day. I'm sorry, but it's not your right to do it because there's people that need you. There's a calling that God made for you that he needs you to step into. There's people that you need to speak to, that you need to share life with, that you just gotta, hey, wave your hand when you're cutting the lawn and you have a smile on his face. Maybe the guy's wife just lost him and he's just feeling miserable and he sees a smile on your face. And it's not gonna change his world, but it's gonna pick him up a little. But if you decided to be sour and bitter, you know, people miss out on that. And King David refers to this in Psalm 42, chapter 5. And I took this verse for myself, and it says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for yet will I praise him, my Savior and my God. You see, King David was going through a nasty time, probably worse than anything I've experienced. And he asked himself, why are you so downcast when there's blessings all around me? Why are you feeling so poor when God has done so much? And he reminded himself, and he said, put your hope in God's soul. He's speaking to himself, for yet will I praise him, my Savior and my God. And you know, so many times I had to take this truth for myself. And I'd get up and I'd say, why are you not happy? Why can't you smile, Rob? When God has blessed you with so much, when he's picked you up, when he flew you across the world to Sydney, Australia, just to send you to Bible college, when he, and you know, and we can get into Thanksgiving and all this stuff later, but yet will I praise him. Yet will I praise him. What a statement for our life. You know, when I lead worship, I've had people say, you know, when you lead worship, Rob, you're just so into it, man. Like, I can just tell that you're just feeling God and, you know, all this stuff. And it's like, you know, sometimes when I'm down there and I'm about to get up to lead worship, I'm not feeling top of the world. Like, most times I'm not, because there's a battle going on, right? But I tell myself, I said, no, my day's not going to affect this, because nothing has changed who God is. God, you are still worthy to be praised. There's a church full of people here that need to praise you because you made them to do it. And if I'm up there and I'm looking all sour and sad, what's that doing? It's not that we're faking it. It's just that we have to believe that this truth that isn't yet reality is more real. And so I can pick myself up. And then I'm telling you, when I come off that stage, it's a totally different story. When I come out of my room, it doesn't have to be a stage. I make myself worship God because I know it changes me. One more example is Job in the Bible. Most of you guys probably know this story, but this guy's life was a mess, right? Like, like it's kind of like the epitome of like, oh God, I hope that doesn't happen to me. like we're supposed to rejoice in tribulation, but we don't want what Job had, you know? And I mean, it says that all his animals were killed. Like, this was a rich guy, and everything was taken away. His kids were killed. His kids were taken away. He was totally covered in sores. Like, I mean, his breath was bad, it even said, right? Like, look it up. Like, the guy was a disaster. And then his friends come, and he's like, I've got some company. And after 3 days of his friends hanging out with him, they just chew him up. They said, Job, what have you done? You sinner, you done this, you done that. And Job was totally innocent. You know what? Job, in the pit of his despair, and his wife said, curse God and die. His wife turned his back on him. And he says this, but I know my Redeemer lives, and he will stand on the earth. You know, I don't know if Job really understood how profound that statement was before Jesus ever walked the earth and died and rose again. But something in his spirit said, I know my Redeemer lives, and it is more real. It is not going to get the best of me. And no matter if my body rots into the ground, I know my Redeemer lives, and Jesus will walk on the earth, and I will see him, and he will see me. And though I don't understand it, I'm going to believe that. What a phenomenal thing. So I hope tonight that we can make a commitment to stand up and to stand on the truth. That we need to make a choice to not let life get the best of us. We need to make a choice that our circumstances and the devil isn't going to get the best of us. That our own fears and our own insecurity and our own faults aren't going to bring us down. Because you may come in here and you may have your head down low because you know, something terrible happened. But then you can rise up and you say, yeah, I know. But Jesus says, he is the lifter of my head. And you can lift your head in faith. You can lift your head in expectation. The devil might be riding your back because something you sinned about, and you just come in here feeling this shame, and you feel like you're not worthy to praise God. But then you can rise up and you can say, but there is no condemnation against me in Christ Jesus. This is the truth that changes our lives. And if we don't stand up and do something about it, then we're going to lose. We're going to lose the battle. And we can miss out on so much good stuff that God has for us. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, I think that one was for me. See, if we did all this, think of how different our lives would be. If we really expected God to move all the time, think how different our friends' lives would be. The thing is, oftentimes we pray and we believe and we expect stuff, But then we have to wait for the answer. We have to wait for it to be in our hands. In the book of Daniel, chapter 9 and 10, Daniel prays, he prays two prayers. And when he's praying to God, the first prayer, within about 3 minutes, while he's still praying, God answers it. And then the second prayer, God wasn't so lucky. He had to fast and pray for 3 weeks until he got the answer to his prayer. 3 weeks. And we can ask ourselves, why would God answer one prayer right away, but then wait 3 weeks to give him the second half of it? And we read and we find out that, in truth, God actually answered both prayers at the same time. But only that the angel Gabriel, who was going to deliver it to Daniel, got in a fight with what the Bible says is the prince of Persia. So a demon fought with his answer, and it was delayed getting to us. That's crazy. Right? Like, how many times do we pray for something, the answer doesn't come, and then we really thought, oh, there's this gigantic war going on in the heavenlies, and that's why I didn't get my answer right away. Right? Like, it's a crazy thought. But the cool thing is, the Bible says that faith being tested produces good character. It produces patience. And I love it, because even when we're waiting, even if there is something delaying our answer, we're still getting blessed. We wait for God, and he still finds a way to bless us, because we're getting patience, and we're building our character. That's such a phenomenal thing. And and the best part, I keep saying the best part. No, but really the best part is that because we know God hears us and he answers our prayers, we can be thankful for what he's done. We can be thankful that an answer is on the way. And you say, how can I be thankful, Rob, if I haven't received my healing yet? Because the word says that you already have it. And you see, this is the fruit of expectation. If we really expect something is on the way, we can thank God for it. We can already break out of our waiting and in this trial of where is God, and we can thank him for it. And I think this is such an advantage over people that don't know Jesus. Because it doesn't matter what we're going through, it doesn't matter what's come against our family, we can still rejoice in God. It's that desert song you guys play. Like, I don't know if you read the words, but they're insane, you know? This is my prayer in the desert. I'm in the desert, but God, I'm rejoicing. I will sing praise. No weapon formed against me will prevail. My circumstances now are subject to change. It's a beautiful thing. Let's go to Acts 16. Awesome example. Paul and Silas in Acts 16, chapter 22. Basically, it's a story where Paul and Silas get stripped and beaten and thrown in jail. Let's read it. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials were ordered to strip them and beat with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. That's heavy duty. Like, no, not only are you stripped and beaten, or in a jail, which I assume at that time doesn't have the best hygiene, but you're in the inner jail. It's probably the darkest part of the jail, because there's no windows. And so you're in this place, and the best part about it is they looked beyond what they saw. You see, they knew they could praise a God that was sitting in heaven. They knew that they could praise a God who had already delivered them, that already had them on their way out, whatever that looked like. And I think we can learn from this, because no matter our circumstances, we have to praise God because he hasn't changed. You see, our surroundings have changed, our condition has changed, but he hasn't changed. And he is causing all things to work together for our good. And so you may be in the middle of sickness. You might be in the middle of a divorce right now. You might be in the middle of a financial crisis. And you may even feel like you're in a prison in your mind, in depression. You may feel like you're in the inner prison. But don't let this change what you believe. Don't let this change the fact that God still has a plan, that God still has a message that's on the way, that God is still going to open the doors. And the best part of it, well, for me, the best part of it, for me is that it says, I think it says it on here, that all the chains, oh, here we go. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken in its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Because of the expectation and the faith of these two guys, the chains of everybody falls off. This is our responsibility. It's our responsibility to praise God when we're having a hard time, because we can bring freedom to other people. We can bring freedom to a world that's in chains. And you know, I really believe that when we have this conscious thinking that I'm walking in expectation, I'm walking in the things that are yet to come, our very presence can change the atmosphere of a room. When I go somewhere and I know, like, I've had to go to people, that, like, divorced people that are fighting, and they wanted the pastor to come and pray, so I went along with the pastor. And I, you know, you go in and you think, oh man, am I ever in for a rough go here, right? There's two people that are just going to tear their heads off. But I go in thinking, my very presence, the very fact that I believe in the truth of God has the power to change, is going to change the atmosphere in the room. The very shadow of Paul, it said it healed people. Do we want to be somebody that when we enter a room, people can smell the Spirit of God on us? They can smell that we're not just here to sit down and take all the beatings the world has to give us. We are here to overcome in life, and we're here to help other people overcome in life. So we're coming to the end here, but I just want to share one more story about my time at Bible college. And it was a terrible experience. I was sick for about 6 months. Yeah, I was ill for half a year. And what would happen was I would just cough from the morning until night. Like, it was just kind of this cold that never went away. And I couldn't laugh anymore, because if I laughed, I would cough until I threw up everywhere, yeah? And if those who know me, like, for me not to laugh for a couple minutes, it's a challenge. So I had to, like, change the way I laughed. I just had to go, like, you know? That was the worst part. And the best part was... And during this time, you know, I was really expectant. I mean, I'm in Bible college. I'm getting my head filled with truth. And I went to every healing meeting there was, right? Like, I mean, in these healing meetings, you go there for 4 hours, and it's just teaching on healing. It's people praying. It's worship. I mean, if there's an environment that builds faith, that you can get healed at, it's one of these places, yeah. And I went to so many of these, and I just, man, God, I know you can get this out of me. And I wasn't healed. And in chapel, they always have prayer requests, and I put my prayer request in, and the pastor would pray for it, and people would come, and they would lay hands on me, and they would heal me, or want to heal me, want God to heal me. And they would say, Rob, you already have this healing. You just got to receive it. And I thought, oh, that's great. And so for a couple months, I believed it. And I'm telling you, I prayed hard. I'm like, God, I know I already have it. Show me how to receive it. Show me how to let this into my life. And after about 4 months of that, I got so bitter and I got so disillusioned with people telling me, Rob, you're already healed. And I'm like, hello, I'm not. Look at me, you know. And I stopped going up for prayer. I stopped doing it, because I was just sick and tired of hearing these things that I clearly wasn't. And one night at 2 a.m, I sprung up out of bed, and I want to know this, but I have the microphone, so I threw up all the bile, all the green stuff in my stomach out at once. And I mean, I've never even seen that on YouTube, right? Like, this was I just sat there and looked at it. I was like, oh, God. And I had a fever, a crazy fever, and I was shaking. And for the next 3 days, I was flat on my couch. And I had to have somebody from college be there with me the whole 3 days because I couldn't move. Like they had to drag me to the bathroom. I was so sick. And after 3 days of that, I didn't have the best health insurance. So after 3 days of that, I decided I got to go to the hospital. I haven't eaten anything, haven't kept any water down, nothing for 3 days. And so they dragged me to the car, and I'm throwing up every meter. Like, I'm just completely finished. And I get to the hospital, and they freak out. And they're like, oh, my gosh. And they send me to get blood work because they thought I had blood poisoning. And I remember standing in this blood clinic waiting to get blood, and the whole world was just beating red. Like, all I heard was my pulse. It's kadoosh, kadoosh, you know, and I'm like, I'm going to die standing here. And I'm like, Jesus, forgive me. I hope they have pizza in heaven, you know. And it took about a week after that, they got me sorted out, and it was all kind of a blur. But I remember being in my room after it, just starting to feel better. And I slammed my fist on my desk because I was so angry. I said, God, where were you, Lord? Why did I waste all my energy and time praying and having people intercede and go hours of this stuff when I could have just gone to the hospital and they fixed me up? And you know, Job 38, I don't know if you know it, it's basically where Job complains to God and God rebukes Job. And this chapter just rained through my head while I'm hammering my hand down. And it said, Rob, who is this? Who is this that questions who I am? Were you there before I made the earth? Were you there before I put the trees in their place? Were you there watching the deer give birth in the fields? Surely you know, Rob, you know everything. And I mean, in an instant, I was humbled, man. I was shaken. I'm like, oh my God, who am I? Who am I? Who am I, this one that sent his son to die for me? It all became clear. And at the end, I heard a voice. I'm telling you, I don't know if it came in here or if it was in here. It was so clear. And it said, Rob, you would have died if I didn't have my hand on you. He said, the devil tried to kill you. And and here I am, thinking God's sitting on a shelf somewhere, you know, thinking, oh yeah, I'll get to Rob sometime. Oh yeah, you know, I hear you praying, Rob, but you just don't have enough faith. That's what I'm thinking. But this whole time God was sustaining me. This whole time when I had something trying to kill me, something out for me, God held me up. God kept me there and he pulled me through. And you know, maybe you've been sick for a long time. You know, maybe you've struggled with depression for years. And no matter what you do, you just can't seem to wake up happy. Maybe you just lost somebody really close to you. You know, you prayed and you believed and you did what we talked about tonight. You expected, you didn't just hope, you expected God to move. And sure, you've had your ups and your down days. But you really pulled through. You did everything you thought you had to do. And you know, nothing has changed. Nothing changed. God didn't answer. And it seems that the authority that he gave you, that you're claiming and naming, it's just not working. And you say, Rob, that's great, but now what? And the reality is that God is still God. The reality is that he is the one in control. The reality is that he has a master plan. And so now that I just completely contradicted my entire sermon, I want to come to my last point. And that is, although God is ultimately in control, we still have a role to play. We have a mission and a responsibility in this life. And that responsibility is to remain expectant. You know, my favorite preacher in the world, his name's Robert Ferguson. None of you have probably heard him. He was at the Bible College. And he talked about this and he said, it is my job to have faith and expect that God will heal me. He says, if I have a chronic illness, it is my job every day to believe with all my heart that God will heal me. And in the end, if he doesn't and I die, I will have been with Jesus knowing that I did everything I could. What a statement, but it's the truth. You know, I think that we don't pray for people. We don't pray for people to get healed. We don't pray for people to have a financial breakthrough or whatever it is. Because if it doesn't happen, then we feel embarrassed. And then we feel like we failed. And then we feel like we totally misrepresented God. And I think we feel that we have to defend and excuse God if all of a sudden the miracle doesn't come true. And so we just don't pray for people anymore. Because we have really genuinely stopped expecting God to work. I'm not saying this about everybody. I know this is true for me. But the thing is, we have put the expectation off of God to heal, and then we've put it on ourselves. And the truth is, it's not our job to heal these people. And all that we are called to do is to expect that God will move with everything we have, that he has blessed us with every good blessing in the spiritual realm, that he has given us the authority over the sickness and the death, that he is mighty to save. We just sang it tonight. He is mighty to heal. He is mighty to complete the good work that he started, whether we see it or not. And you know, we cannot let our previous experiences and disappointments influence our level of expectation. If there's anything we take away tonight, this is it. Because you prayed for somebody with a heart problem and they didn't get healed. Or you prayed for somebody to overcome cancer and they died. Or you prayed for somebody's parents to stay together and they got divorced. You prayed for somebody, your best friend, to know Jesus, and then they just died in a car crash. You prayed that you would be married 5 years ago, and you're still single saying, hey, God, where are you? You expected God to show up, and you never felt him. But you cannot let the doubt of that creep in. We cannot lower our expectations to protect ourselves from being disappointed again. I said we cannot lower our expectations of what God will do to protect ourselves from being disappointed in God. You cannot let these previous disappointments speak louder to you than the truth of God. Is the word of God loud in our ears, or is everything we feel and see and interact with, is that the voice that we're listening to? See, you're praying for somebody, and those thoughts of disappointment come into your mind. But you have to say, no. The Bible says, when I lay hands on the sick, they will recover. You say, ah, is this person really going to get healed? You know, you have to say, no, God has given me the authority over all the powers of darkness in Jesus' name. You have to say, why are you downcast, O soul? Why are you not believing? Have you bought into past experiences, Rob? Have you invested too much of your thought in what didn't happen and forgot what is going to happen? Can we say, yet will I praise him? Can we say that? Our task, I'm going to finish with this. Our task as a Christian is to receive, is to believe and expect that God will heal, that God will do a miracle over and over and over and over again. That's it. Is that easy? No. But when we get that word of God in and we spend more time speaking that, it overrules all the experiences of our life. Last scripture, Hebrews 11. It says, faith is the confidence that what we expect for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things that we cannot see. So I ask you again tonight, what do you expect? I just want to pray if we can have the worship team come up. Oh, Father, Lord, I thank you that though it may be a heavy topic, God, you are faithful to bring understanding. Lord, I thank you that though where we have been disappointed before, you are faithful to answer our prayer. You are alive and well, O Jesus. Father, I pray that we would leave this house tonight, this church. We would leave tonight daring to expect in you, Lord. Daring to be more than just satisfactory. That we're not going to just put up with a headache. That we're not just going to put up when our friend's kid is sick. When somebody has birth complications. We're not going to put up with that. Because we're going to expect you to intercede, Lord. That's what makes us different. That's what the Bible says. This is what we're living for. If we can't believe for that, how do we know that you are going to even save us, Lord? Where is our faith? God, I pray you would increase our faith. Lord, I believe, but help me where I don't believe. God, you know we're just dust. You know we struggle. And you say, you know, I love you so much. And I want to move. Just believe that I'll do it. I want to move. I want to touch that area where you're hurting. Just believe me that I'll do it. I know you don't have all the answers. But that's why he's God. We just have to be us and we can let God be God. I'd like to have just a short time for prayer. For those who want it, the service is over. You can all have a phenomenal Sunday afternoon. But for those of you who are stuck in this rut of, man, how can I believe for that stuff? I've spent way too long, too many opportunities in my life that I just didn't really think God would move, so I did nothing. If you're in that place, if we could have the house leaders up and people to pray just off to the side, that'd be phenomenal. If none of this made sense, I'll be around to talk. But yeah, I just want to encourage us all tonight that this can be our song in the desert. You know, I will bring praise, yet will I rejoice in him. Though I'm cast down and the world's mocking me, my friends are mocking me. Yet will I rejoice. Father, bless your house tonight. Fill us with the wisdom of your word. Fill us with an expectation that your promises are yes and amen. Lord, I thank you that your word has gone out tonight and it has not returned void. Lord, I thank you we are changed in the power of Jesus. What other name is higher than your name, O Lord? What is not possible in your presence, God? What is not possible when we step out in faith? Surely we can even walk on the water that stands before us. Give us the faith, Lord. Be the lifter of our head tonight. Be the voice. Be that voice, Lord, that is louder than that of the world. Be the voice that is louder than our circumstance. For you are worthy, you are mighty, and you are greatly to be praised, Lord. I thank you for the life you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good Sunday.